band that really relies upon being in the same room with each other, responding to each other, improvisation, capturing that live energy. So can you talk about adapting to a scenario where you weren't going to be able to really be in the same room with each other, and how do you even make an album like that?
We were fortunate in the sense that we had been talking about doing remote work for a while before COVID happened. So when it hit March 2020, we, in a very foundational way, we already had an idea of how we could make something like that happen, mostly because I had just moved to New York City and we were already a remote band in a lot of ways. So we finally said, well, let's do this. We can give it a shot. We were going to do this anyway, and there's no better time than now. And we got our nuts and bolts together. We all made sure we had the newest Ableton. We bought John some drum mics. We updated all the software stuff, created a process of using Google Drive, a naming process, just because there were so many trades back and forth. So we had to be organized, and we got organized quickly, just because you want to make music so badly that it happened quick. So then we just made it work. I think the same way a lot of people adapted well during that time, just by the force of things going on around us and having no other option.
What was it like as the process went along? Share any anecdotes about what it was like to be continually receiving new additions, new layers. I think the words of layered and amalgamation, that always comes into play with Sawchuck music, but especially with this one. Would it be that you would maybe contribute one part and then receive something that sounded completely new and different and invigorating? What was that like for you?
It was chaotic. It was really challenging. The four of us each have such individual taste. This has been a challenge even when we have been in the same room writing together. We have visions for what we want the band to be, for it to sound like. We have strong opinions in the room. Doing things remotely was one way it was very helpful, was because it helped us each have more control, which I think it was great for our band dynamic. We are opinionated, but we've always been thoughtful. We've always been trusting of each other. But this process carved out a little bit more space for the individual, just because we would pass files. The original file trades were we had to pass it in 24 to 48 hours. So it's kind of like you do something, you pass it, you do something, you pass it. So it was quick, but it also was 24 hours that you had that track under your fingertips where you could play producer. You had permission to cut anything you wanted, or to add a section, or to give a melodic line when that's not normal. I was writing not a lot. Ben is absolutely the bass line in this band, but there's a song like in For the Makers where there's a section where I wrote the main bass structure of it. And then I think Simon had some ideas for drums on something that John ended up not using, but he had it in his head. So it was super fun because we all had more space to design, and that was great. That was really good for us. And it sped up the process too. So that way we're not all in the same room and, well, what about this? Or I don't know about that, because then you get the pass and you have to sit with it. You have to accept it. And that's where the greatest challenge came in, is there was some really just bonkers changes that people made that ultimately made the tracks as, I think, as good as they are, but it was really hard to stomach at the time. Just because you send something out and it's this precious idea that you've had, and then you get it back and it's totally different or gone, or the way that it's been recontextualized. There were times where I felt like, oh, it's ruined. Right. To be honest, right. It felt that intense for me. But there was a lot of lessons in that experience of having to let go of what you make and trust that it's going to be okay. And the best example on the record that I could give of this happening was on There's a Leak in the Shielding. I don't remember exactly how that one began, but I had this whole lyric thing. There were sort of these sections. And then Ben took it last and flipped the beat on everything. So then the downbeat shifted. And we got that back, and I felt like ill about it. I felt really, really betrayed. And the way we work through that is we talk about it a lot. We disagree a lot. We present arguments for why it shouldn't or should be like that, why we should keep it, or should we keep it in the whole song or just a part of the song. But then, you know, you get the track. It's totally different. The first four times you listen, you're uncomfortable, but then it sinks in. And then you understand why the person put it in like that. You start hearing it differently the more times you listen to it. And ultimately, that actually became my favorite song on the album. It really did.
Collaboration. You all got to learn the truest, deepest, most intense definition of that word, didn't you?
Right.
And going on this element of improvisation, which is also seems intrinsic to Sawchuk, is that, think about it, maybe if you were in a room and you had a spur-of-the-moment idea that you threw into a live performance, maybe that doesn't get picked up by the group, but the song keeps going. The idea in that sense is a little more fleeting, but in this scenario, you put an idea down and it stayed like that for the next 24 to 47 hours. And so you got to hold on to it and love it. And then it maybe gets precious, but then it gets changed. And then so it maybe makes that change a little more devastating than it would have otherwise been because you had the chance to sit with it. Let's talk about your vocal contributions to this, though, and tell me about this concept I was reading about, something about like a poly-narrative. Can you tell us about that, your approach to the lyrics especially and the vocal performance? What might have distinguished it from previous experiences, not just even with Sawchuk, but in just your whole singing life?
I'm going to answer that question by starting with some other things that I've been doing recently that have been inspiring me for the future and also helping me understand my roots, my musical roots. I've been doing theater lately. I haven't done that since I was a high schooler years ago. I'm right now touring with a piece called Parable of the Sower, which is Toshi Regan's project. She wrote the music with her mother, Bernice Johnson Regan, and it's based off of the Octavia Butler book. There's been so much learning for me from that process. The one avenue I'll speak to specifically right now is in terms of performing on that kind of stage and what that has taught me and what the sort of training that I've been receiving from the experience. We had 2 weeks of very intense rehearsals, just sort of every day getting everything together. A couple months ago, we had an incredible movement director. We did an hour of movement every morning that just absolutely blew my mind on how to think about the body moving through space and time and memory and emotion. We have two co-directors who likewise opened up so many ways of thinking for me in terms of how you think about character, how you think about motivation between scenes, within a scene, between people. There's so much interpersonal and intrapersonal things to track throughout the whole performance. So I'm learning all these things and taking all these wisdoms with me just every day. And I also love that through this process, I'm reconnecting with and learning about little Alex and all the things that she loved that I didn't forget about. But when you age, you can see the ways that you've changed, but you're also completely the same person as when you were a baby. And so this process of doing theater has unlocked some of those linearities, some of those threads for me throughout my life. And I've always been interested in humans. I've always been interested in connection on a really deep level. I've always been interested in if this happens, then this happens, and finding connections between events or ideas. And the way that I write, I find, is actually, it's very, very grounded in those interests of what is everyone saying and where are we now in humanity and where have we been. And I love my friends who are scientists who I can talk about science with, and I love my friends who are artists, but they also love cooking. My roommate is an incredible cook. I love just seeing and learning about what she's doing. And so I guess just this general curiosity that I have that's kind of intense. When I'm writing, I like to tell stories, but they're very abstract. They're very abstract. There's multiple personas involved in the stories. It's kind of a little bit romantic of me, I think. Or maybe it's I'm being overzealous and I'm taking on too much because the songs are so saturated and different. voices. But I kind of like the grandeur of that, and I like the maximalist tendency of that. I find that very evocative. I find that very, that kind of density evocative when I'm listening to other people's music or witnessing sort of huge paintings. I love giant, giant paintings and huge gestures of expression. And so the writing, taking it back to this record, For the Makers, there are threads of continuity between how I wrote for our last EPs, maybe with the exception of the Itch EP, which is probably more narrative, singular person speaking about some other singular entity. But like Spokes is all over the map. Spokes is really abstract. And For the Makers is pretty abstract, maybe with a couple of exceptions of songs on the record. But yeah, I love like people can take what they take from it. And somehow it seems that there's a response. People respond to it.
There's two words I heard that really intense curiosity, and that felt emblematic to me of what's going on here. Can you speak even further to that about how even everyone else in the band, drums, bass, keyboard, guitar, what have you, the voice, also an instrument, seems to have a curiosity to explore intensities and talk a little bit more about maximalism. I think that is for anyone who hasn't heard Sajtak yet, if they're prepped by knowing that this is a band that does want to explore maximalism, I think that is a helpful introduction. So I think it would be cool to talk about why this band finds that so fulfilling. I personally find it resonant because the lyrical subjects, or even just pure raw expression of the instruments or the nonverbal singing, feels like it's like there's something on my mind, there's something I'm fascinated with, we are going to explore this to its fullest and expunge everything from it. No one can see this, but I just shook my arms really intensely. Anyway, thoughts on maximalism and what you find fulfilling about it.
I think there's ecstasy in maximalism that is fulfilling to me. There's freedom in that. I think there can be freedom in chaotic expression. I think our band is chaotic. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean that, just mean it, however that means.
I mean, one of your anthems is called Hectic, and it's like embracing that, yeah. You know?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. But I love that song.
I love it too. And some of your other band members have expressed that this album felt healing in a sense, probably in response to the last 2 years of emotional and psychological chaos, maybe making music that was chaotic felt like a natural response and possibly healing. Mm-hmm. I find it cathartic in that sense to listen to, so I can only imagine what it was like to make it.
Yeah. I think Sajtak is like having a good cry and feeling all right afterward.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, catharsis is very important. Mm-hmm.
Going back to when you were talking about the creative process, it inspired me to ask a stupid question. So I'll just go ahead and ask it, but maybe it's helpful for listeners. You are all getting to momentarily for 24 hours don the hat of a producer, however fleetingly. And then the word making and then makers came in. And I was like, maybe that's part of the title, but maybe not. So if you could just speak to, there's the title track. Why did that feel like it was the right title for the album? That's my dumb question.
Mm-hmm. No, it's a great question. I would love to answer that question because it's very important to the record. John created it was a working title for the song For the Makers, and it stuck. We immediately all said, that's a great title. Ultimately, we agreed that would be a great title for the album. But the reason it was a great title for that song is a love song between two people, a younger person and an older person, who have some kind of very special, loving, familial relationship. And the younger person is witnessing the older person age. You know, when you don't see someone for a while and then you see them again and you notice more wrinkles, or you notice more wrinkles on their face and on your face too. And you're noticing this aging process that's very slow, very slow. But ultimately, there is one day where you come to the end of that. whether that's a lived experience that you have or whether it's a foreshadowing, and you just, we all know that this is part of life. And so I was thinking a lot about my mother in this song. I was thinking a lot about my grandmother, who I'm very fortunate that both of them are still with us in the earth and doing great. But I was, you know, just in the middle of isolation, and I also think about death a lot in general. But in the run of the COVID experience, and just thinking a lot about that process and thinking about if life on earth is a line. I don't think about it like this, but you know, in the context of the song, if it's just this line with like a dot at the end, right? Until it opens after death and it becomes a huge world. That dot, I became really like obsessive about that dot. And well, actually, yeah. And feeling afraid of that dot, feeling afraid of losing people that you love. That song is almost like an imagining that I'm living through that dot already as a way to try to prepare myself for the dot. And I'll say me. Yeah, it's me speaking, the younger person speaking to the older person as you're close and saying, don't cry, don't cry. May I be your friend, watching all your bubbles burst and tears try to swim. It's comforting. It's very comforting to the older person. And then there's also curiosity. The younger person has a curiosity. That the bridge is some of my favorite lines, where you're also so curious what's going to happen when I'm at the dot. And you're asking for wisdom. You're asking for advice. You're asking for insight. When you look in the mirror, do you see an animal, not a man? Do you bend the knee, believe that in a silent valley, you're the sound in quicksand? Because we share blood in a holy mystery. Your eternal is coming. I'll be listening. Send the answer back to me.
That springs from a curiosity, but that it expands to just such a all-encompassing existential awareness. And then it brings in levels of gratitude and compassion. It's amazing. It's amazing. Can you prepare yourself? How do you prepare yourself? What? It's a lot to process. Changing subjects completely, I just wanted to like commend you and the band for just creating such a concentrated amount of art within a challenging time period. You know, we talked about catharsis, but and we talked about swapping files and Google Drives, but that took a level of endurance that I can't imagine. We saw a lot of people talking about this could be the time for all out self-care. This could be a time to give yourself a break and maybe not work on art. So there's just been a lot of effort put into this, because we have also not only this amazing album coming out, but we have three amazing videos too. So, or at least I've seen Big Exit, which is incredible. And then we have this amazing Concert Made 680 coming around the bend. I don't have a question there, but it's just, it is evident how important it was to all of you to get this out and put this together and make it special and make it amazing.
We needed to do it.
So Concert Made is in the world. And I think that is an amazing video. Simon isn't here to comment on it, but if you have anything to share, it's a pretty cool production. It's ghostly, it's synthetic, it's rainbow colored, which I think references the lyrics. It's surreal, and it feels so Saj Talk. That's all I can say on it.
Yeah, it really does. We were all really thrilled that Simon volunteered his time to make this for us. He's so good at what he does in the visual world, and his art has always been a part of our visual world as a band. So yeah, to have this video for a single on the record is, and it looks amazing. We're all so happy about it. He asked us, hey, here it is, do you have any thoughts or edits? And we had zero. So
because yeah. it's ethereal and trippy, but there's something ineffably human about it. Mm-hmm. And that also summarizes Saj Talk to me. Like, mm-hmm. within the chaos, and sure, there's a lot of electronic elements as well, but then there's the human voice. There's just something so human that is retained in what you guys do, no matter what. So the video captured that.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, in a lot of ways, we're an electronic band, but yeah, that's actually, there's a lot that I could say about what I'm thinking, a lot of little things happening in my brain, but yes, thank you. I'll just say that. Thanks for saying what you said.
So yes, June 3rd, I think is the release date, right?
Yes.
Just curious, are there any plans developing to do any performance of any kind in the summer?
Yes, many.
Sweet.
We're working on booking a handful of tours right now. So
cool.
More to come soon.